the unfathomable God. And today we're saying unfathomable, and just to be clear, it's not the one that makes no sense, like the way you would, you know, clock into work, get your coffee, and you walk in over to your desk and you see your coworker standing on the desk flipping papers everywhere and spilling their coffee. We're not talking about that type of unfathomable. You know, that one's just concerning and you need HR there. But we're talking about the unfathomable that is unexplainable in greatness and majesty. And that's what we're going to talk about today with God. Nobody laughed at that. That took some time to write and come up with. All right, never mind. All right, we're going to scratch that. Thanks for the audience feedback there. And earlier this week, I was walking back from staff devotions, and Pastor Mike was walking with me, and he asked me, and I quote, "What are you cooking up Sunday?" And he knows where I'm going with this. And it was funny because I started talking to him, and I said, "You know, I'm so excited for Sunday. In the fridge, I've got some chicken and some special seasoning and all these things getting ready for the game later." And, you know, I went on for a little too long, Pastor Mike. You need to stop me there. And he went, "Oh, I meant for the message on Sunday." And, yeah, shows where my mind was. Anyways, before we get too distracted with food, I want us to jump in today. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. And it's a famous Christmas passage that many of us have probably seen or read before. But today I just want to kind of anchor here for a little bit. So, Isaiah 9:6. "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Somebody good, glad about that today? Amen. So we can very quickly read through this verse, but when we slow down, we notice some very important things. This is actually one of the earliest mentions of the coming Messiah that we have in the entire Bible. And notice, Isaiah here doesn't write of what he's going to do. He says who this Messiah actually is. Notice this. This is before the cross. This is before the miracles, before the feeding of the 5,000, before all the baptisms. Before it all, he reminds us of who God actually is. Today, I want us to try and search in ourselves how we view God. Do we primarily view him in the terms of who he actually is, or do we just search him for answers and what he can do for us? And again, we pray for help, we pray for provision and direction. And none of that's wrong, and it's not unscriptural, but Jesus himself even says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Correct? But he doesn't just stop there. He says, "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open for you." Asking wasn't ever meant to stand alone. And I think this is something very significant here that I'm trying to draw out today in the prophet Isaiah of what he was trying to show us first. He didn't just say that, you know, God is strong. He said it's mighty God. And sometimes, I believe, in our modern culture, we're taught in moments of need to come and ask, rather to come and seek. We need to find awe instead of answers sometimes. Yet most of modern Christianity has taught us this language that is entirely dependent on God's activity rather than his being. Somebody with me today? This is, if you stayed home today, you picked a good day. It's going to get a little confusing in here. But again, we say statements, and again, it's not that these are wrong or insensitive, but we say statements like, "Look what God did for me," or "Please pray that God helps me have peace," or something like that. And again, those statements aren't unbiblical, but if that's the depths of our faith, that's an issue. And something's missing. And again, some of this culture today, you know, culture of Christianity, will teach you that if you say things like this, that makes you a Christian, without actually seeing if you have an understanding of who this God actually is. And again, I think it's important here because Isaiah 9:6 shows us who God actually is. And without realizing it, we can gain this thinking that we treat God more like a resource than a reality. And we can grow fluent in requests, but not desperate for his presence. And then you know what happens? Is our confidence becomes tied to outcomes rather than God. It's not rooted in who he is. And I'm going to tell you this nicely today, if nobody said this to you. Your confidence can't be in the answers you seek, and your confidence can't be in the outcomes you want, but it needs to actually be based on God and God alone, not based on your circumstances and what you want to see happen. Think about a firefighter. A fire happens, it breaks out, he runs into danger, rescues people, saves lives. And that's what they do. But those don't just appear out of nowhere. The firefighter doesn't just become brave when the alarm sounds. It reveals what was already there. And sometimes, like I'd like to point out today, that when God does answer prayers and when he does come through, it reveals who he actually is. But sometimes we can worship what we want rather than the one who actually gives it. Like I said, God isn't loving when he just answers our prayers. And he doesn't become powerful when he delivers us. And he's not faithful just when he provides. These moments actually reveal who he is. And Scripture shows us this. It's not, God isn't this, you know, impersonal force just out and about or distant power. He's personal. He's a being with real character. He's morally perfect, completely righteous and pure. He depends on nothing, was created by no one, and is beyond the limits of our human understanding. And the awesome thing is that if we just gain a fraction of who this God actually is, our lives would be set. They would be. When God reveals himself through Scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit, we lose nothing yet gain everything. The Holy Spirit doesn't just, you know, eliminate our asking. He deepens your hunger. And he draws you beyond these requests into a relationship with him. And he moves us from, God, please help me, to, God, I want you. From there, we see the God of the Bible isn't just generous in what he does for us, but he's also glorious. And he's not just near, he's also holy. In that closeness, that awe comes. And you just stand in your time of prayer with him. And you just realize that you're humbled. And you just begin to observe who this God actually is. And again, this is why Isaiah 9:6, Matt threw me. This is why Isaiah 9:6 matters so deeply, is because Jesus isn't just the one who brings peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. And he's not just nice and great and special. He's the Wonderful Counselor. And he's not just strong, he's Mighty God. When we see God for who he truly is, our faith moves beyond what he can do for us into a deepened worship of who he actually is. And God isn't hiding here. He's also looking for you to seek him and not just ask of him. When we seek him and not just his hand, we recover this awe and this confidence and wonder that's not rooted by our circumstances or outcomes, but in the unchanging nature of God himself. And here's the main statement for today. We can often make God about us rather than about him. And that's dangerous. And again, we can think of God as somebody who's just meant to solve our problems or allow us to be blessed, but that really just limits God to what he can do, not to actually who he is. And again, I'm not saying that these things are bad, but I am saying it is bad when that's the deepest part of your faith, is just based on what he can do. If your understanding of God is only based on what he's done for you, then the moment your life gets a little bit difficult, circumstances start closing in, your view of God will begin to shrink because your circumstances aren't good. And if your circumstances aren't good, you're going to start thinking that God's not good. But what we need to begin to see is that this God that we serve, this God that we worship, is far bigger than anything we can picture, think, or imagine. That when these circumstances happen, they fall so short compared to the grandeur and unfathomability that's found in God. Now, I pose this question to you today. Suppose the greatest thing in your life you gained wasn't a title, wasn't a trophy, wasn't a bank account statement, but just simply being close to God, to understanding who this Creator is. Could you truly be satisfied with that? And this is a dangerous question because then it starts pointing out how our circumstances can shape our theology, and it can shape our thinking of God. Many of us here would say an easy yes, but then if God asks us to give something big up, quit a job, start pursuing him, just even talk to somebody about God in public, it'd shift from a confident yes to a hesitant no. Here's another question. Would God still be good if he didn't give us what we wanted? And all of us would say yes, but do our circumstances, when we get in these circumstances, do we really say yes? If the highest place you reached in your life was simply just being a servant in awe and worship of God, would that be enough? If you weren't wealthy, but you were devoted to Christ, could that truly be enough? For many of us, again, there's this surface level, yes. But when it comes to giving something up, like I said, or doing something difficult or uncomfortable, it turns to a no. And other times we can become angry with our lives and not act like we serve a good God. And those circumstances start dictating our thinking as well. Often we know what's right in our hearts, yet we decide differently in a moment. And again, the issue is rooted in our understanding of God. And we must begin to ask for the Lord's help as to why. Scripture tells us that we need to ask God to search us and test our anxious thoughts. Matthew 5:37, Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no." And how can we still say the Lord is enough, yet go on and search for things that deny his greatness? We struggle to experience the peace of the Lord because we don't actually want to know the Prince of Peace. Because our trust, like our answers, change with our circumstances. When life goes smoothly, we assume that God is on our side and he's been the best person of all time. Yet in hardships, we quietly wonder if he's still even near. In seasons of blessings, we say, God is with me, but in difficulty, we're tempted to question if he's turned away. And again, Scripture reminds us that we can't depend on the situations we're in. We can't depend on the events that happen in your life. What you can depend on is the unchanging Father that is in heaven. And I'm not trying to be insensitive today, but when we lose a loved one, or when God prompts us to do something, or we lose a job, we say, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if you're good right now. But I want to talk to us today that, again, it's not just based on our circumstances. It's not based on what God does or doesn't do. He is goodness itself. And again, your understanding of God changes when you see him for who he is and not what he does. Let me bring clarity. I'm not saying you're never going to feel sadness. I'm not saying you're never going to feel nervous obedient or just nervous or scared. I'm not saying you're never going to feel pain. And I'm not saying you aren't allowed to feel joy and blessing. But we have to bring all these emotions and submit them to this mighty God. 1 Peter reminds us of this same principle. If I can pull it up here. It says, 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us, cast all your cares on him because he cares about you. So, just to recap here, God can't simply be good because of how he treats us. Even apart from us, he's still good, and he's still the creator of all things. Scripture reminds us he's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He put stars into place, planets into motion, set the very chair you're walking on, sitting on, into existence. I don't know about you, but when I talk, I can't create things. He just did that with a word. When Moses asked, "Who are you, God?" what did he say? He said, "I am who I am." If that isn't startling enough, we have to come to understand that this God is more than we can think of. He's unfathomable. Yet today we often, again, treat God as somebody who's our, you know, comfortable counterpart. We treat God as our, like, best friend who we can go, you know, ask for, you know, something from. And I'm not saying he won't do it. I am saying that this understanding of his greatness allows him to be fully conceptualized before we go do that. And we can often sing songs about who this God is, but very subtly, it's some of them, we just talk about what we need. And how does that give him the glory that he's due? And again, the fear is that we've made God more about us instead of about him. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And he looked at the darkness and he said, "Let there be light." And there was. And think about that for a moment. The same God who did all that wants to have a relationship with you. I was flying a couple weeks back, and I think we hit 10,000 feet, and I looked out the window, and I couldn't see you. I couldn't. What's crazy about this is that the same God that created all of this wants to know each and every one of you personally. That's unfathomable in itself. Psalms 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." This just goes to point out the glory that God has. There's no telescope, there's no computer, there's no microscope to measure it. It's beyond human comprehension. Yet, each of us are allowed to have that relationship with Him. Psalms has this continual theme of opening each chapter with this understanding of focus and praise. Psalms 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." This is a great one right here. "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love and because of your truth." Every law of physics, every orbit, every heartbeat, and every atom is created by Him, down to the smallest detail. And that's not random, it's intentional. And it's His infinite wisdom at work. And again, with all this majesty, He's not distant from us. Just think about that for a moment, though. Is the same God that put all the galaxies into motion, stars in space, is still close with each of you. He cares about the details of your life. And that's the paradox of God's greatness, is that He can be so big, yet come so small down to us. And this is why Scripture calls us to worship Him, is that He is great for this fact that He still finds each and every one of us valuable with all of His greatness. Isaiah 40, 12, verse 14 reminds us, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hands, or marked off the heavens with a span?" Think about that for a minute. This isn't just literary, you know, novice here. This is detailed. This is trying to point to the greatness of God. Think about it this way. If your life just amounts to this awe of God, you're becoming an arrow pointing somewhere. And arrows give direction. It gives guidance. Not to just for you, but for the other people around you in your life. That even if your life just amounted to pointing to God, you're showing others the way to go. You're showing where we need to be and what we need to focus on. Think of it this way, is you're going on a trip, you get on the plane. Plane says, "Oh, we've been delayed 2 hours, please stay in your seat." You land, they say, "Oh, we can't find your luggage." And then you get to the rental car facility, and they say, "Oh, we don't have that SUV you rented. We have this very small, compact car for you." And then you drive, and you get to somewhere like the Grand Canyon. And you look out, and you just see it. None of what just happened matters. None of what was part of the journey matters when you get there. And that's the same with God, is that when you become more in awe of Him, none of the stuff in your life seems measurable. None of it. But let me tell you this, is when we get to this place, when we need God to be able to do something or move in our lives, when it's not just based on what we want, but what God is trying to do, This confidence of who this grand God is comes into play. And this is where faith begins, is that when we understand who this God actually is, that these small situations that happen in our lives are so insurmountable that he can change it just with the word. I don't know about you, but that's crazy to think. And again, if we only grasp just a fraction of who this God is, it really changes how we live. We begin to see life differently, problems shrink, worry feels lighter. Our perspective shifts from not only focusing on what we need from God to actually who God is. Now, I was told I need to make this somewhat Christmassy. So, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. No, I'm kidding. Now I want us to pause a minute and just think about this. This same God that did all these things, sent and came down as a baby. As a baby. That's crazy. And if we really think about it, it's very undeserved on our part. He didn't stay distant in all this greatness. He came down. This same God that knows your very every thought walks with you, guides you, and wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants you to be humbled. He wants you to be amazed. And he wants you to be full of awe. Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God himself, humbled himself to come all the way to us. And again, this is the same God that can't be contained, was never created, and depends on no one, came down to us. I was trying to think of a way for some of us to see this, and I was watching another message. I didn't come up with this, but let's see. I have the slide here. I just want you to see something for a second. Here we go. So, if you will, we're getting science-y in here. This is us, all the way down here, all right? That's you, me, all the way down here, right? That's Saturn. Okay, this is just our galaxy, all right? This is the biggest star that's been found, okay? The sun is right here. That's the sun, and you know how big the sun is compared to the Earth. Jupiter, which is the biggest planet on this one, is just a pixel here. A pixel. That's where Jesus came all the way down to. Isn't that crazy? I'm not saying this to make any of us feel small today, but I do want you to realize the greatness that is in our God. Colossians 1:16 through 17 puts it this way: for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things are held together. Again, this common theme in Psalms, we see that he starts out writing like this. He says, I will give thanks with all my heart. I will sing of your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. Again, famous Christmas verse. For God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. The unfathomable God. Just think for a moment as we begin to close here. I'm cutting it short today. Just think here for a minute. Close your eyes and just think. When you finally close your eyes for the last time, and I'm not trying to be morbid here, you're going to come face to face with the Lord and his greatness. I don't know what you'll do first. I don't know if you'll be singing and dancing or falling on your knees in awe, but you'll be doing something like that. But I want to tell you, if you're not prepared for that now, that's what it's going to look like then. Is that you're going to come to a point where all that stands before you is the Lord. Not the problems that you face today. Not all the little circumstances and things that we think can be so big. But the Lord is going to be before you. Just think about that. The unfathomable God that holds all of creation together is going to be before you. Thank you, God. And as we're praying today, I know the holiday season can bring some difficulties for some of us. But you know what God said to Mary when she was about to have this Savior that we're talking about? Is don't be afraid, for I am with you. This same God of the whole universe is with you today. It's like this picture. You have this kid bullying the other kid, but then when his dad shows up, is right behind him, this bully, he's got to back off. Because his dad's too big. You're not going to mess with the dad. And in this case, your circumstances, these other things that feel like they're daunting towards you, just remember who's behind you. Remember this unfathomable God that created all these things. The biggest stars, the smallest earths, down to its last atoms, is with you. He wants to know you personally. Worship team, you can begin to come out. As we sing this song, I want each and every one of us today to try and remember that when we worship, worship not to get, but to give praise. Worship in awe. And again, just begin to focus on that, the greatness that's found in God. He's good in these little circumstances for us. He's good when he answers our prayers. But he's also good apart from them. He loves you enough to come down to each and every one of you. And today, if you don't really have that relationship with God, or you're still questioning that, search, seek, knock, and you'll find. I promise you. He doesn't let anything go out to void. All right, let's pray. Worship team. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord, and all that you've done. And just continue to remind us in this Christmas season that you are the Prince of Peace. You are the Mighty God, and you are the Wonderful Counselor. God, thank you that in this time we continue to remember the unfathomability that you came down to us, that you care about each and every one of us. Continue in this week, Lord, and in this Christmas season to help us remember how important we are to you, Lord, and remember how great you are, God. Let our circumstances and the events that happen in our lives, Lord, seem so insurmountable compared to what you are and what you do, Lord, that you'll continue to strengthen us, guide us, and allow us to come into awe of you. God, thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.